Right now on VFN TV, we're going to take you back when the world was at war. Communism was taking over. Nazi Germany was pushing. Europe was just turning upside down. They began to cry out for America, and America came, along with its allies, to the rescue to end World War II. And we're going to find out what happened, how communism was coming to an end, and how people are beginning to bring it up today and embrace it. After seeing this program, you'll understand. We need to honor those who gave their life for us to be free today, right now on VFN TV.
Welcome to VFN TV and the daily VFN radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
The world was at war. The entire world was at war. It's the Second World War, not local wars, not a state war, not a country war. The entire world was at war. And Hitler and Nazi Germany was coming down and taking over country after country after country. And the United Kingdom, as we know it today in Europe, was being overtaken by Nazi Germany. And at that moment in time, they were crying out for America to come get involved. They would fly back and forth and say, America, get involved. We wouldn't get involved. But finally, one day we said we would. Pearl Harbor takes place, and we begin to get involved. And we come to the rescue of Europe and with our allies and stop the world and save Europe as we know it. I'm Greg Lancaster, and John Ramos is joining us here today.
Hello.
And so I want to take you back to that time so we can remember where we came from. That this was a war, the world was at war, and everything was upside down. Europe as you know it today, and you hear about the European Union today, and you hear about them saying that they want to, you know, have trade policies with America, and they're being, you know, kind of not nice to America. But we just had the Brexit, where the United Kingdom, you know, England pulled out of the European Union. Well, understand this. There was a day that there was no Europe. It was being overtaken by Germany. And it was just a very tragic time. And one country after another was being overtaken in war. And in Europe as we know it, or even Europe, but even England as we know it, they were destroying companies and manufacturing, and just great death was happening across the face of the earth. Pearl Harbor happened, you know, when they bombed, you know, our base, you know, in Pearl Harbor. But also they began to cry out for us to be able to get involved. And so we got involved with the allies and Americans. We sent our sons, we sent our fathers, we sent our grandfathers, we sent our daughters to go to the world to rescue the world from this great catastrophe that was taking place, to be able to end this hegemony, this attempt to take over the whole world. And so when you look back today on history and see what's happening today, you think, have you forgotten what happened last time y'all embraced communism?
That's
last
right.
Time you embraced socialism? So the people of America went with our allies to be able to defeat Hitler and Nazi Germany, and we were successful. But in that, everybody was starving and hungry. They destroyed all the stores. Nobody had a chance to farm. And all the manufacturing was destroyed, and America was the only one that still we had the ability. Not only did we go rescue everyone, but we actually had the food and the manufacturing to be able to supply everyone. And what happened was Secretary of State Marshall, he actually goes before Congress and he presents called the Marshall Plan. And what he was saying was, and the Marshall Plan was, we're the only ones that actually can help people out. Let's go back and look at Secretary Marshall speaking to Congress. As he's talking to them, World War II has come to an end. People are starving. People are hungry. There's no way to feed themselves. Europe would not be here without the Marshall Plan. But look what America did during this time of recovery from the great tragedy of World War II. Take a look.
Never before has one nation carried a greater responsibility for the fate of others in time of peace. Reduced to its simplest form, the bulky Paris report meant that America must again send ammunition overseas. Ammunition for peace, in the form of food, machinery, skills, and dollars. Figures quoted reached $17 billion. Americans heard that until this long-range plan goes into action, stopgap aid was needed. Austria, Italy, and France were declared to be in desperate straits by Secretary Marshall.
In order to meet this emergency, I recommend that you give immediate and urgent consideration to a bill authorizing the appropriation of sufficient funds to provide the supplies necessary to permit the people of these countries to continue to eat, to work, and to survive the winter.
Before Christmas, more than $500 million were made available, and the president affixed his signature to an interim aid authorization bill.
We have given much aid to the impoverished peoples of Europe on simple humanitarian grounds. But as a countermeasure against the attempt by the Soviet Union to communize Europe, the American people saw the necessity for cooperating with the non-communist countries in a comprehensive, bipartisan European recovery program passed by Congress and here being signed by President Truman. This program, known also as the Marshall Plan, is designed to afford eligible nations that margin of help in credit and materials which they need to bring their overall economy back to health. Secretary of State Marshall, in placing the plan before Congress, stated,
"Why must the United States carry so great a load in helping Europe? The answer is simple. The United States is the only country in the world today which has the economic power and productivity to furnish the needed assistance. The 6 8/10 billion proposed for the first 15 months is less than a single month's charge of the war. To be quite clear, this unprecedented endeavor of the new world to help the old is neither sure nor easy. It is a calculated risk. It is a difficult program. And you know far better than I do the political difficulties involved in this program. But there's no doubt whatever in my mind that if we decide to do this thing, we can do it successfully. And there's also no doubt in my mind that the whole world hangs in the balance as to what it is to be."
The whole world weighs in the balance, deciding what it's going to be. Understand this. Not only did your forefathers in America, go and give our lives, people died and were wounded on the battlefield to be able to rescue Europe, to rescue Hungary, to rescue, over and over and over again, all the different countries that were being taken over by Germany at that particular time. But now, through the Marshall Plan, because everybody's starving now, everybody's starving. You have communism still trying to come in and to take control of people. And so we partnered with countries who were not communists to be able to help the people so they could be free, because it was socialism and communism that began to cause all this oppression on people. So Secretary of State George Marshall said specifically, why would we be the ones, America, to be able to go out and give all this food to Europe and to the world? And people in Europe, listen, we care about you. This is what America's known for doing. And this is what he said. The United States is the only country in the world which has the economic power and the productivity to furnish the need and assistance. We were the only country that was able to go out there and defend the world from evil dictators and tyrants like Hitler and communism. And now we're the only one that, like the breadbasket of the world, going to bring food out there. And top that off, after all that pain in the world, the Soviet Union, officially known as the Union of Soviet Socialist Republic, let me say it again, the Union of Soviet Socialist Republic, the USSR, was beginning trying to take over and do the very same thing. Guess what? We get back from the break, we're going to tell you what they did. They built a wall right in the middle of Germany and split it right in the middle. But we're going to tell you what happened with that after the break. Join us after the break.
Back.
I want to talk to you about our book. My book is out and it's ready for you right now. I Will Fight, 10 strategies to fight for your success. Listen, so many people in the world understand if you're going to be successful, you got to fight for it. And many people who are believers and Christians think that just success falls out of the sky. But God has created the earth to respond to your labor. He's created the universe to respond to you believing in faith what he's going to do. So I share in this book very specifically about biblical fights that have happened, but also got 10 specific strategies to be able to help you. I don't care if you're a CEO. I don't care if you're a congressperson or a senator. I don't care if you're a janitor, a business owner, a teacher, a pastor. If anybody needs to know how to fight, pastors need to know how to fight for success and define, what success is. But I talk specifically, and I begin in this book, is about how God spoke to me and why I'm writing the book. God showed me specifically in a dream, a prophetic dream, several dreams, but one was that he has a wealth transfer coming and he wants to deliver wealth to his people. but they don't have the character and the integrity to be able to manage that wealth. He told me that he's been getting a lot of money and wealth to them, but it goes right through their fingers like holes in a bowl. So they have to learn how to be able to develop strategies, biblical strategies, to be able to be positioned. Why? Because a great harvest of souls is coming, and it's going to take many, many dollars to be able to bring in that harvest, and it's going to be God's people who will fund that. And so he's looking for people that are willing to say, I want to be positioned. This is all about being positioned for great wealth. And it's not necessarily great wealth in money. It could be great wealth and influence, whatever God has entrusted you with. So get your, it's a free book. You just cover shipping and handling. We want to send it to you for free. And you can go to vfnkb.com for all the details. You can see it on your screen. But listen, it's here. It's right here for you. Wonderful thing. How many nuggets? Maybe 500, 600 yeah. wisdom nuggets in addition to the success strategies. It's yours now, vfnkb.com. I want to thank you so much for joining us here on VFN TV and the Daily Radio program. Every single day, we are on the air talking to the world and encouraging you by bringing the light, keeping the conversation light. And we also talk to you in many different ways as well. One way is at the VFN Torch. If you go to vfntv.com and click on the torch, our program that we have for years now with all these pertinent topics of the day plus things that you need to know is right there for you, where you can go back and educate yourself on a particular matter. You can share things with a friend. You can listen to us in addition in SoundCloud as well. You can share things audibly with other listeners out there and other viewers and friends. There's just so much available to you at vfntv.com. In addition, think about this. We come to you in the air, broadcasting in the air, in your pocket, which is on mobile devices, and online. We're all over the world, and we want to be able to bring encouragement to you. And we do that one way with our app. You can go to Apple App Store. You can go to Google Play Store or your Windows Store and get your app and download it. The app is called VFN TV. Of course, you go to VFNTV.com. We have our little area there that you can pick which app you want to be able to download. It's just so exciting to know that no matter where you are, we want to be able to encourage you. I don't know if you knew about this, but also you can sign up for our Torch newsletter. We have a gift for you for doing that. You just go to VFNTV.com in the upper right-hand corner and fill out that little information, and immediately a free gift will come to you. One of them is prudent preparation. Hopefully it's going to come to you and teach you how to probably prepare for the day, what's happening in our culture today, and how to think outside the box. And this is something we want to be able to give to you, plus some other gifts as well. And I also want to make sure that you have a chance to be able to become a VFN TV partner. We have a whole partners area just to say thank you. It's special areas, special events, green room, things we have available just to give our partners, just to be able to say thank you. Imagine any time you can log into the partners area. Why? Because you partnered for any dollar figure at all to be able to say thank you. Things you can share with your friends as well. Also, we have VFN Kingdom Business Partners, a whole nother area to be able to focus on the seven spheres of culture. Just very encouraging. And finally, I want to encourage you, maybe your business, maybe you want to become a business sponsor. Those are the ones that are standing with us, that want to keep the conversation light, that want to impact their community, but also want to be able to share their business, their service, what they provide for their community. You can do that by going to VFNTV.com. Thank you so much, and thanks for watching.
Welcome back to VFNTV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Think about it. The whole world just went through war. Everything's turned upside down. America's having to feed the world because it was everybody's places to be able to have food was being destroyed. The manufacturing was destroyed. The agriculture was destroyed. And we're feeding folks around the world through the Marshall Plan. And the Soviet Union tries to take over people and take over and to control them. And they went literally, the USSR, the Soviet Union, listen, this is who they were. The Union of Soviet Socialists. The Union of Soviet Socialist Republic. It was the socialists trying to take over. It was a National Socialist Party. And so that's the USSR. And they came in so much so they took Germany and they built a wall. And you're seeing it right here, a wall right in the middle of Germany. And they split Germany, between Eastern Communist Germany and Western Free Germany. They just split it right in half with a wall. And you think about that, you know, it's much like North Korea today. When you think about Korea, there's only one Korea. But in the Korean War, they stopped at a particular area. And so North Korea and Russia set that leader in. the family in, the Kim Jong-un family, to be the dictator over those people, the family of the Koreans. And so they put a wall right in the middle of your, like being through your living room. So you have North Korea and South Korea. Well, they had they have landmines there. They have walls there, fences, and they shoot you if you try to cross over. It happens right now, even this week probably. Well, that was what's happening right there in Germany. And you think about it, you know, communism and Marxism, which is the fruit of socialism, it begins to go that way. When you turn away from God, you embrace government as God. What happens? They have to build walls to keep their people in, and they have to threaten them with their lives to be able to keep a people in there. When you got to build walls to keep your people in, something ain't right in the way you're running your country. So that's what was going on. So we were actually, America's trying to help the world recover, and Russia, well, not Russia, but the Soviet Union was trying to be tyrannical leadership over them, as a matter of fact. And so we want to find out what's going on. So we remember this. I think about this. Whoever controls the money controls the vision. So whoever controls your economy controls your nation. Socialism is an economic statement. It's saying we want to control the economy. They want to take it over. Communism, Marxism, socialism, that's all about saying we have a vision for the country and we want to take it in a new direction. Freedom, when you control your own money and your own economy, that means you're free. That's the difference in it. And that's why in America only works if it's a nation under God, because we have to have God over us to be able to lead us and direct us, and we have to seek Him in the context of that. So, you know, what was happening was Soviet Union was coming and said, we want to control the economies. That's what that is. Is it a matter of an economy? And so in 1961, they built this wall to divide the family. You had some families on one side of the wall, German family, and some of the family, like an aunt or uncles on the other side of the wall. They wouldn't even see them again. If they tried to go over to visit them, they would shoot them and kill them. It was barbed wire. It was just terrible things that were going on. In 1962, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. came to that wall, to the Western, to the, not the Western Wall, but the Berlin Wall there, and he saw it, and he's fresh. He just, the Civil Rights Act was just signed because of his leadership, you know, in America, and he was just about to receive the Nobel Peace Prize, and he showed up and he said, who would know better about oppression, something like this, when your own people are divided against themselves, than what happened in America? And he's representing how America removed the dividing wall with the Civil Rights Act. Well, right after that, I think it was in 1963, President John F. Kennedy came to the Berlin Wall 1 year later and spoke at the Western Wall, and he's saying that communism was the greatest threat to the world. He was letting everybody know that. And one thing that he said when President Kennedy was speaking there, he said, America is not a perfect country, but we don't have to build walls to keep our people from leaving. That's a big difference. When you have to have walls to keep people from running in your country, that means things are going good in your country. That was in 1963. Well, guess what? The same year, November 22nd, 1963, President John F. Kennedy was assassinated in Dallas, Texas. That's why people think Russia had something to do with it, because he was confronting Russia and its leadership. But if you were a Christian, you know Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, you wrestle not against communism or socialism, but you don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against spiritual wickedness, principalities. That's a principality that was over the Soviet Union. And so when you had Dr. King go there, when you had President John F. Kennedy go there and confront it, there's a demonic force that comes back your way, a backlash that came back. And literally, he was assassinated in office in 1968. Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. was assassinated in Memphis, Tennessee, coming out of his hotel. You know, today we see where Russia has come in and interfered with our country and put false advertising up to try to turn us on each other. Well, guess what? More than likely was happening at the very same time when America was divided over race in the 60s. Soviet Union was all in the middle of that. And not only that, in 1968, it wasn't, but just a couple days later, where the brother of President John F. Kennedy, Senator Robert Kennedy, was assassinated in America. It was a tragic time. It was coming against communism and people who wanted to take over the world. So you think about it, a little bit fast forward but to June 12, 1987, President Ronald Reagan, he went there to the wall, and Gorbachev was over the Soviet Union at the time, and he said, confronted the Soviet Union, he said, This dividing wall represents, and he talked about all this history that I just talked about, you know, briefed over it. And he talked about it, and then he said, Gorbachev, tear down this wall. And what he's saying is, like, in this captivity of your people, if you really want freedom, let's go back and take a look when President Reagan did that. Take a look.
Behind me stands a wall that encircles the free sectors of this city, part of a vast system of barriers that divides the entire continent of Europe. General Secretary Gorbachev, if you seek peace, if you seek prosperity for the Soviet Union and Eastern Europe, if you seek liberalization, come here to this gate. Mr. Gorbachev, open this gate. Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall.
This is so powerful. So the vice president of President Ronald Reagan, President George W. Bush, he became president in 1989. He oversaw the coming down of the wall. He oversaw the coming down of the Soviet Union, where it was ended forever. And that's why President Putin is so upset today, because he wants this back. We don't want that back. Well, President George W. Bush had the right demeanor. God had the right man in the right time to be able to handle. You're looking at George Gorbachev signing the agreement with the President of the United States to be able to end it. It's amazing what's taking place. Let's go back and take a look at that wall finally coming down, like so many declared it to come down. Take a look.
I found myself in a group of people who were applauding. I didn't understand right away why. Then I realized I really was in West Berlin, and West Berliners had come to the border, and they were applauding us. We were all crying and embracing each other. Even now, when I look back, my heart is racing. It was so moving.
Bekannte, die wollen mal besuchen, die warten uns zwei Stunden.
Wir wollen einfach mal ruhiger.
Nur mal gucken. Ist traumhaft. Und dann wieder zurück.
Wann?
Nee, heute irgendwann. Oder also besser gesagt, doch heute.
Wahnsinn! Wahnsinn!
Was für toll! Das ist toll!
28 Jahre, das ist die Stunde.
Super. Ich bin sehr glücklich.
West Berliners arrived from the other direction. They began to demolish the wall in front of the Brandenburg Gate.
There was a common idea. Now we have to get rid of the wall.
Diese Werkzeuge kamen ja aus der Gruppe und
everybody had different reasons.
Jetzt müssen wir die Mauer wegkriegen. Und jeder hat da wahrscheinlich andere.
For me, it was that I had relatives on the other side who couldn't come over.
Man kannte, dass man eben nicht, wie man wollte, zusammenkommen konnte. Oder wenn ich an meine Tante denke.
When I remembered my aunt and how I couldn't see her before she died, it made me so angry. It was liberating to do something against the wall.
Da Kommunismus ist gestorben.
Wer was? Wer nimmt das mit rüber? Oh. Die SED ist tot. Ja, wer
da nimmt
das mit rüber?
Ego lebt doch noch.
Ja, Alter. Haben wir mit so einer Zähne.
It was emotional for me, but I must confess that I had in mind not overreacting. The stupidest thing that any president could have done then would have been going over there, danced on the Berlin Wall, and stick his fingers right into the eyes of the Soviet military and of Gorbachev. Now, who knows how they would have had to react.
Утром только
Next morning, I got a phone call. They told me what had happened. I said, you made the right decision. Because how could you shoot at Germans who walk across the border to meet other Germans on the other side? So the policy had to change.
Across this wall, two worlds had faced each other in arms. Now their enmity was dumped into history. Germany would be reunited. But Europe's revolution against communism was not yet done.
Look at the pain. Look at the pain communism caused. People crying out, communism's finally dead. And people are embracing it today. Well, guess what? President Reagan got to go back to the wall and grab a chisel himself and begin to chisel out a piece of that wall himself. Remember, he said, Gorbachev, tear down this wall. And there he's taking down a piece of the wall. But guess what's at the presidential library today? A piece of the Berlin Wall is located at Ronald Reagan's library in Simi Valley, California. Isn't that exciting? So you look at it today, and I just want to say this. What you need to tell everyone to watch this program, because there's a reason why we say no to communism, because it's killed. Our fathers died to free us from communism. The Germany, they gave their lives for this. Many people just gave their lives to be free. God's called us to be free people up under Him. And so when people are embracing communism, Marxism, socialism, they're telling you, you cannot know about history. So they quit teaching people about history. They don't know about this. They don't teach us in school. You need to share this with your with the people that you know, because they don't know this reality. History majors, people that are teaching history, when they graduate, some of the reports are that they don't even know this kind of history. They have revisionist history. This is real. You're seeing it for yourself. You're seeing Germans cry out. You're seeing the price that it paid. You saw the Marshall Plan. You saw America go. You saw a president that was assassinated. Dr. Martin Luther King was assassinated. His brother, Robert Kennedy, was assassinated. It's George H. Bush, not George W. Bush, that handled that transition of them coming down. So when you see Putin, you know, President Putin of Russia raise his head, they're saying he wants to, another USSR, Soviet Socialist Republic, to exist again. And that's why he's trying to take over those different countries. We as Americans and people are free in the world, you need to stay free. Maybe America won't be there this next time if that's to happen again. We don't want that to happen again. We want to say, you know what, God, you are the Lord of my life. You are over our country. You choose our leaders. We want godly leaders over us that care about us and care about our people, or at least people that are checked by you, God. And so I want to ask you right now that you're finding out, you know, what are about history, what are your comments about the Marshall Plan, about Europe, about what happened with President Reagan, what happened with President John F. Kennedy, with Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., with Senator Robert Kennedy, and what's happened? They gave their lives for us to have this kind of freedom. Comment below. Share your thoughts on that. Write to us at friendsofvfnkb.com. And be sure, by the way, to go to iTunes or go to Spotify and subscribe to our podcast and rate it. Give it a 5 so it'll go around the world to more people when you do that. I want to pray with you right now. Father God, I just thank you for each and every one that's watching, Lord. I just speak truth over them, Lord God, that they would desire truth. What is the truth? Whatever it is what it is. God, that you would just show them and help them know, God, that this is the reality, that we would not have to repeat a world war situation again. We thank you, Lord, for all those that gave their lives and sacrifice to bring us here today. And God, we ask you, dear God, end abortion, send revival, send a third great awakening, we pray, in Jesus' name. And don't forget how easy it is. Jesus told us, love God, love others, and lead others to do the same. God bless.
I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you've joined us. Don't forget you can join us 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Download our app and sign up for our newsletter, The Torch, at VFNTV.com. I've enjoyed our time together. God bless.
John. One of my last jobs, you know, at the as a deputy sheriff was a school resource officer. It was called ESIL, which stands for Expanded Educational Agricultural Laboratory. I was like, okay. It's a farm, you know, with kids. It's like the last chance particular school they had in their district right there. There's a lot of different things going on, you know, different. I thought, you know, all these kids needed just somebody to be able to just kind of father them. And I had all these wrong ideas about how it was going to work. But, you know, one of the things that they did was they wanted to be able to have a golf tournament. It's called Best Ball Golf Tournament, where you have to get several of the teachers together, go out on a golf course to be able to play ball. And the best ball, based on my understanding of it, is that you have a group of people and each of you hit a ball in mm-hmm. your group, and you have several groups playing each other, and whoever hits the best ball, you play off that ball. And of course, I know what a hook is and I know what a slice is, which is not what you want. And I didn't play golf. I kind of hacked at golf. You know what I'm saying? I was hacking at it. And these guys were merciless. It was just totally terrible. You know, I kept on trying to hit the ball, you know, in a certain direction, but to go in a total different direction. And finally, I was on a putting green, and I thought, this is it. I am almost there. I am almost there. My ball lands, and I'm going to knock it in. And finally, one of these teachers looks at me and says, just pick your ball up. I'm like, you know, I can't believe it. Of course, I didn't have the best ball at that point, but this is what happened. This is what I got to tell you why. This is so important. So we get back, and this particular teacher was one of the guys who worked with the students in the agricultural area. And so he had sort of like a shed, if you would, of where his some of his equipment was and his file cabinets. And there's this file cabinet, four-door file cabinet, that has a metal rod that you slide down to lock the whole file cabinet up. So you have to raise it higher than the file cabinet, and you're lowering it down. So it's the same day now. The same day the boy makes in front of my golf. He's out there fixing to lock up his file cabinet, and he lifts that rod up to slide it down into the file cabinet, and lightning, I'm telling you, lightning comes down and strikes that rod and comes right through him and goes right into the ground.
Oh, my goodness.
He's okay. It did erase his credit card, all the little magnetic strips on his credit cards. But he comes in, he's just shocked, obviously. His hair is kind of sticking out a little bit. But he's okay. He's nothing happened to him physically. But he looked at me, total hair sticking out, you know, frazzled. And I looked at him and I said, don't ever make in front of my golf again.